Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in for another one. We're joined by a special guest in his building today, Chokwe from Both Teams to Score. How you doing, bro?
Yo, what's good, lads? Shout to here from the BTTS podcast. Pleasure to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Welcome, bro. Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast.
Damola, tell us how you're doing before we get into it.
I'm doing all right, you know. I am upset that you were right about Arteta and Arsenal missing top four, but such is life. What's weird is, like, I called Arteta a scam at the beginning of the season, and here was I, like, for the last 2 weeks praying I wasn't going to be right. But, you know, such is life. We support Arsenal, not the man. We go again next season.
We'll get into it later, but both things can exist, no? Like, Arteta can not be a scam, and Arsenal can also not be.
Oh, please. Oh, please. That's true.
What I called was Conte. Okay, it had nothing to do with Arteta, but if I had to, I beg, check in. How are you doing? Are you still a United fan?
Oh, I cannot help it. I'm a United fan forever. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm hopeful. And with life, there's hope, and the hope that a new manager brings, you know, is keeping me positive. So, I don't know. I cannot say I did not expect anything to happen. So, I'm cool.
But anyway, guys, main news for obviously this weekend of football: the Premier League is over. All of the top five leagues are over, I believe now, and most importantly for us. In a crazy final day, Manchester City won the league. Chokwe, what did you think of the final day fixtures?
Man, it was a rough day, man, as a Liverpool fan. So going into the game, obviously, I'm thinking, yeah, City are probably just going to dump Villa. Yeah, there's not going to be hope. We'll probably just go to it. But for Villa to go 2-0 up 70 minutes in.
Not one, man, but two.
As in two. After the first one, you're like, yeah, that's just one. So, yeah, City need two to win. That's kind of hope. Then they score again. So, you think, yeah, at this point, all we just need to do is score. So, I'm watching just to Liverpool at this point. I don't care about City anymore. Then I start hearing the results from the City game. And it happened in 5 minutes, bro. Like, it was crazy.
Gundogan to the rescue, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen the highlights. I'm not even sure who scored the other goals. I saw one of the goals, actually. But, you know, I'm not even trying to watch that.
Same. I think it's like too depressing for me right now to watch actual football highlights.
You know, I always knew that match was going to be nervy. The one versus the one between City and Aston Villa, because you know Gerrard is the Aston Villa manager. Klopp had already done the interview where he basically categorically said that he knows that Gerrard will be doing it for Liverpool, and if you really think about it. Gerrard must have been trying to, you know, win the Liverpool fans back, you know, the slip and all that stuff. You know, so I'm pretty sure Aston Villa did their best to try to win that game.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I thought it would be nervous.
Yeah, they
I
just did. Didn't think, they just didn't have the legs.
Yeah, I just didn't think Aston Villa would go 2-0 up. I thought it was one of them ones that it would be like 0-0 and then maybe like in 78 minutes or something, Aston Villa can score one goal or, I don't know, just, you know, something that would... I did expect two goals from Aston Villa.
Trust me.
You know, but then even more so, I didn't think Manchester City had the spine to score three goals in, was it 5 minutes or what, 7 minutes?
Something like
that. Yeah, I didn't see that coming either.
Two in like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Oh. Ridiculous. They just took off Bernardo Silva, brought on Gundogan, and that was the end. Like, that was the end for my FPL as well. Because Tokwe... And that was sad, man. But yeah, let's go.
There was an amazing FPL draft league this year, which we'll probably talk about in another episode. But yeah, it's crazy how the narrative could have been so different. I could already see the Pep haters coming out. I could see the Patrice Evras coming out to talk about character and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You know what? Before we go too far, what's funny about that game is I think Liverpool messed up and actually played a part in the City bottling not sticking. because the moment it was 2-0, Liverpool were not winning their game. And the details of the score was moving back to back between both stadiums. In fact, if you remember around the time Salah scored, someone somehow sent a fake message to the Liverpool fans that it was somehow 3-3 in City. So the Liverpool fans were celebrating for like a minute. Then I guess they got the proper information that actually this is not what's happening. City is leading 3-2. But if around the time it was still 2-0, Liverpool were in the lead, I believe that message gets back to the City stadium and it puts more tension on them. They play more nervous. They don't get those goals they get, or if they get them, they don't get them as quickly. So it may end up being like something like 2-2, which still works up in Liverpool's favor. That being said, football is 90 minutes, and you got to give the City kids kudos. They learned from Real Madrid, and they pulled through at the end. So congrats to Guardiola.
I think that's a very good point that you raised, Damola, actually. You definitely would have played a factor. We'll never find out now what it would have been like if the pressure was there. But even I was at the Arsenal game versus Everton, and the Everton fans were celebrating the Liverpool results more than they were watching the game. Like, it was crazy. When
they're losers now.
Like, you could hear almost every goal or every single goal that City scored. You could hear it from the Everton fans. You could hear, or they were also telling us the Tottenham scores. That was highly embarrassing.
I can't even lie, even United fans as well. I know it's a bit embarrassing to be like celebrating another team's success, but like even at Old Trafford was buzzing when we found that City had scored 3-2. Personally, as a United fan.
So now I'm curious though.
United fan, that's a shit sandwich, no?
Actually, that's what I was about to ask. As a United fan, did you prefer Liverpool winning or City winning? I know ideally it's both of them to lose, but exactly, given that wasn't the case in this situation.
Exactly. Normally, we don't want Liverpool or Man City getting any success over us. But if I had to pick between Liverpool or Manchester City, I would pick Manchester City 10 times over. Sorry to say.
It's called City at tiny City club United. Now. Everybody City wants United. Them to win because they have no fans. So if City win, it's not in your face. It's nowhere. They have no legends. It's no news.
Well, that's a fair point, I guess.
You know, so funny. Now. One of my mates is a big Liverpool fan. Emmanuel, shout out. And yesterday in the group chat, he was telling us like, it's all good and well. They came second, that the rest of us in the group, because we're like United, Arsenal, and Chelsea fans. It was like the rest of us in the group should support Liverpool for the final. And we're like, fuck no, we want to see your tears. We don't like Liverpool. And he was so shocked. He was like, where's this antagonism coming from? It's like, see, it's not enough we should succeed. You should fail. So,
honestly, I feel like I'm more on the fence with the Champions League one. Liverpool, but I don't want Madrid, like, bro, like it's sort of become just a heritage. Just like, do they deserve the UCL this season? Are they the best team in Europe? No, they're not.
See, that's the reason I actually want them to win it, right? Sometimes
the person who gets 4 times in the last 7-10 years, like.
See, that's the more reason I want them to interact. In the terms of one, the story is so sweet, and I feel like this would be like a textbook Hollywood ending for Madrid to win it. That's the first part. But secondly, looking at more the grand scope of things, right? Madrid has actually, of all the clubs competing, right? Madrid has acted more frugally responsible, even in a weird way, more than Liverpool, who isn't like necessarily spending all money, but they're also not being cheap out here. So from within the scope of just one season, I think that's another story to tell. Now, you could say historically Madrid has spent money and that's what even allowed them be able to be so frugal this one season. But, you know, man, me, I'm all for agenda, and I'd rather Liverpool end up with the Mickey Mouse double than them
I think
winning.
You should have started now. All those other things about financial fair play. Just say you have bad belly for Liverpool.
No.
I think, before we get too sidetracked with the Champions League, we should give Liverpool their flowers for the Premier League season that they just had. In January, they were like 14 points behind City And since then, they just blitz every fucking body. And they were very, very, very close to winning it. If it was any other time, this club team would be like just doing a madness. But obviously, he was mentioning something about how he always has to finish second in his life, which I think is not exactly accurate. Like, he's still dominating Champions League. But yeah, man, I think we should give Liverpool their flowers. I still think they're a better team than City. Like, I have them on the day against
100%. 100%. And about the Champions League, there's this current UCL proposal for, I think it's going to start in the 2023 season, where the coefficients for, it's basically calculated, you know, they're going to add like two more teams, I think. And yeah, the Premier League has a good chance of like getting the fifth spot into the Champions League as well. So that should benefit United and Arsenal fans if English clubs in general do well in the Champions League. So it only help the English league's coefficients if Liverpool, you know, win the Champions League, for example. So, you know, if you think about it like that, then, I mean, you know, Liverpool should go ahead.
I'll put it this way. Liverpool have been a very historic team, despite my hating. What they've accomplished as a team with, I guess what you could say is a smaller net spend than City, is magnificent. And only that, the style of football they play, there's something beautiful about it, especially the fact, you know, my brother Sadio Mane is out there leading the line. But it's one of those things, right? The way I feel about Liverpool and their sort of lack of success is the same way I feel for Neymar, which is like, in any other era, he would be the greatest out there. Unfortunately, Liverpool is around the same time as these historic City Guardiola teams. So it's like one of those things. And I mean, the funny thing is,
we've already won one.
Liverpool are not lacking success. I don't
think. No, said, no, 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 no. Okay, no, no, no. Just, no, lacking.
We've won one Champions League. I mean, another final. That could be two Champions Leagues. There will be three finals and two Champions Leagues, which they haven't come really close to winning. And we've beaten them in the process of getting to one of these finals. So, like, yeah, they've won in the league, but we've won in the Champions League, and that's why.
Well, I get what you're saying, though. That's fair. I wouldn't say they've
to be honest, for me, success. I would take being a Liverpool fan over being a City fan. The joy of the Champions League plus one league on top, Ganesh, it's like better than winning the league these 4 out of 5 years. I mean, I don't know what many.
Yeah, winning the league stopped being excited for City fans a long time ago. What exactly. They wanted the Champions League at this point. Exactly. And we got what we needed, which was the league, and then now we're not.
But see, here's the thing.
And the other comes on the side. Like, it's been a great time. I got to go first.
Yeah, they've conquered all of Europe.
We've done it all. Like, Klopp has won literally everything. Like, being able to look back on the Klopp era and say he won everything. Only Sir Alex and United can say that has happened, to say manager has won everything. So, everything else is extra for now, man. He's leaving soon anyway.
Ale.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's not like Liverpool haven't had success, but if this historic City team wasn't there, they could have been more successful. Now, obviously, these are hypotheticals.
Fair enough. But, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can say that, for sure. You can say that.
Okay, guys, let's talk about Mbappe. Wagwan.
Get paid, young brother. Get paid. Get paid, young brother. I'm not upset by it. I understand my Madrid fans, Twibby. Shout out to you. I'm a bit tight right now. But when I saw some of the leaked financials, if those are any semblance of the truth, then I can't be upset. If I'm Mbappe, I'm like, yo, even me too, I want somebody to give me enough money to question certain decisions I'm making. Like, that's
question your morals. Question your morals, bro.
Morals, this has nothing to do with his morals now.
Yeah, exactly.
But that kind of money will make you question your morals regardless.
Yeah, and I'll put it this way, though. Like, all you need to do is, like, look at it from Mbappe's standpoint. This is a pure business strategy. Mbappe is, what, 23? The contract is 3 years, so let's assume he plays the entire time of the contract and does not renew at the end. Mbappe is 26. almost hitting 27 by the time he's leaving PSG. So not only does he get this stupid amount of money, he's not yet at his peak. Yeah. But if we're using football,
that peak thing is nonsense, man. There's every chance that he won't be as good as he is right now when he's 27.
Okay, fair point. Which is why which is why it's good for him to get that money now, right? It's like, let him rack up that money now. And at 27, if he decides, you know what, I've enjoyed the money, time to do something else, he can make that decision. But I think from a business standpoint, this was the best decision from Mbappe. Now, from a Madrid standpoint, this is irritating.
Do you know the details of Mbappe's financials, actually? Is it like 100 million a year, 200 signing on bonus, 300?
No. You forgot it. 100 million a year after tax. Before. Sorry. After tax. So if someone, the amount of tax the government is taking from me now, if someone offers me my current salary after tax, me too, I'm running.
That's 2M per week.
Like, right. Hey, man.
So let's break that down to every step. What? How many steps? How much is a step of this guy's feet worth? Like, it must be a lot of money.
So it's from a business standpoint, I get it. Now, if you're Madrid, I get why you're upset, right? Because, you know, you spent basically the last three summers making sure you can financially compete for Mbappe. Yeah. And also the squad, like, it feels like there's a Mbappe-sized hole in the squad, right? Where he plays with Benzema, Benzema gets old, Benzema leaves, Mbappe takes over, then you still have your Mbappe, Vini, Camavinga. Like, you have a very young core that is very good and can go for years. So I get why, from a Madrid standpoint, this is very upsetting. And I even get why La Liga wants to sue Ligue 1, man. Because since La Liga lost Ronaldo and Messi, I can assume how low their viewership has gone, or at least compared to before. Bringing a big star like Mbappe was probably going to change those financials. And, you know, it's one of those...
massive for the league.
This is, in a weird way, PSG twice have been involved in landscape-changing moves, right? In terms of the finances involved in this. Because, for example, Mbappe has spoiled the proverbial salary cap that was in football. Although there was no really a salary cap, but if we're moving by like today's standards, do we really think Mbappe is going to get this type of contract once he leaves PSG? Because I don't think he's renewing after this contract. If he leaves PSG, I'm not sure if he's getting this type of contract or if any team can afford to give him this type of contract.
You can pay him that money. And I swear La Liga is suing PSG directly. They're suing PSG, not even Ligue 1. Because of
PSG.
Financial play, fair play. They think they've done something dodgy. But I'm sure he'll check out. PSG are not worried.
I think from the Madrid standpoint, I understand why they're sad that they missed on the player, but the entitlement is shocking to me. It's like the
100%
because Mbappe isn't coming. Mbappe has made a bad decision for his
career.
Thank
you, bro.
Like,
another
like,
club's
I don't
player.
Understand that. Why is Mbappe?
Another club's player.
Yes, why is
a
why
club
is
keeping hold
like,
of their own player and they are feeling so entitled to
like,
it?
Like he's their property and they have
bro, it's embarrassing
on every world class player in the history of football. Like they should cool off. Why I don't get why and why is Madrid such a better project when people act like yeah, go to Madrid and like Madrid and a transition season. When they replace their midfield, we don't know how good Madrid are gonna be again. So his chance of winning Ballon d'Or and Champions League might actually be higher at PSG. So yeah, I don't get that.
Where is the standout player? Madrid are coming off a season without Mbappe where they've won the La Liga and they're in the final of the Champions League. I don't know, man. It sounds a bit too greedy to me. A bit too greedy, a bit too entitled.
No, they need to sign Nicolas Pepe for the right wing.
Yeah.
And then they'll be golden. They can
I do not disagree. Florentino, I'm sure we can work out a deal with Arsenal for Pepe. Young star, he's not yet 27. Wicked left foot.
But
he can develop an eye for the game.
That question that was just raised about his Ballon d'Or, it is a good one. Because although I get the staying at PSG is not necessarily bad for his career. He can become an absolute icon even within these 3 years if they manage to do what they want to do in the Champions League, for example. like then he has reached the peak of like football at before 26. Like he has completed the game generally. But for Ballon d'Or, don't you think, or is there something with like no player from Ligue 1 is about to win Ballon d'Or anytime soon? Are they? That's really gonna World Cup. It will be the only thing he has for that.
Yeah. So I will say this though: if France, and they're my favorites, but you know, we all know how that goes. If France win the, my favorites have not been doing well in sports recently, so I've accepted it. If France somehow repeats the World Cup with Mbappe starring, he has a very high chance. Like, with him being in Ligue 1, I think he has a better chance with achievements for the national team than purely what goes off in the French League. And this is like,
bro, plus or minus chance. Benzema is still alive, though.
Well, yeah, I agree. But for example, Benzema this season, especially if France does well, we know he's winning this Ballon d'Or.
But they changed the Ballon d'Or criteria.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Your club performance and the award goes up before the World Cup in December. So
that's what I'm saying. It doesn't count for... Okay, that actually makes perfect sense. So it doesn't count for Benzema, but it can count for Mbappe next season. And although they are saying the criteria is not, you know, national team, people are human. You're telling me you're going to see Mbappe start another World Cup, possibly win it, and you're not going to be thinking, but he got that dog in him when you're voting for the Ballon d'Or. It's just human, and I won't blame anybody for voting for him.
Yeah, I can see it affecting future World Cups.
I mean, future World Cups are probably going to start in June. I think the one in December, it's a one-off, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually, because it's in Qatar.
One-off for Qatar, yeah.
Yeah, please, it should be a one.
I'm very, very pumped for World Cup this year, though. I can't wait till we get into those national team conversations.
Yeah, I'm not pumped because no Nigeria, but, you know, shout out to the sixth African country.
Support Ghana. That's what you can do.
Bro, support Ghana, man. That's what I'm
doing. Or Senegal,
no. Actually, yeah, Senegal. I can support Senegal. I can support Senegal with my chest. Ghana 50-50, because if Arsenal is fine this season, I will need Partey back quickly, then, you know. Not that I'll necessarily be playing on Ghana's downfall, but I would like Partey to get the rest he'll probably need.
I mean, congratulations to Mbappe on the deal ultimately, and best of luck to him. And Neymar, let's not forget Neymar is still there. That move from Barcelona really didn't work out for anyone. Yeah, and Messi.
Messi may leave this offseason, though. Offseason during the summer. Let's see.
Americano.
Barcelona, though, no? And Barcelona are still having their financial trouble.
Why can Messi only go to Barcelona?
He can't. It can't only be Barcelona now. If he to leaves...
Where? I doubt Messi will leave now.
Where can Messi go to? I would like to get some suggestions.
First of all, you guys are assuming that
definitely not Barcelona, bro. That's what's surprising. Yeah. Nobody can structure that deal.
But here's the thing. I assume you guys are assuming that he's going to be earning the same amount of money. With Barcelona, I think there's like legit legal requirements why he has to earn a certain amount, so Barcelona can't do that. Anywhere else, he can agree to collect less than what he's currently earning in exchange for something else. Because I actually think like Messi's in the tail end. He'll probably like go to like MLS or maybe he say he wants to pay for his boyhood club. What's his name of this club?
Messi's again? Going for another Champions League.
No, I don't think he has it in him. Messi has done everything, but there's nothing
there to him. What do you mean? Does he not have it in him? Mm-hmm. How does he not have it in him? The guy has second most assists in the
world.
Come on.
And
in a season where the clear star of the team is now Mbappe, for the first time in a really long time, we are going to see pressure off the back of Messi. So Messi will not be looked upon to be the best player in the PSG team anymore, just based off what has happened this season, and then Mbappe contract and all that. So I feel like Messi will be playing next season without pressure. Not the pressure he's used to, certainly not the pressure he's used to. And that can, I mean, I personally am predicting a big season for Messi at PSG next season. And Damola is telling me that Messi
doesn't have it in him. Bad phrasing. Let me not say Messi doesn't have it in him. I think the current structure of PSG, like, let's see what happens in the summer. Let's see what moves they make, especially with the midfield defense balance and things like that. Right?
They get a new manager, apparently.
But if they don't get certain things right, I still think they have the same problems next season they have this season, which is they can't find a way to fit all that attacking talent and still maintain a certain level of balance in the team. That problem hasn't gone away. It's still there. You keep Messi, Neymar, Mbappe. We know Mbappe is not going anywhere. That's the one.
Add Pogba to the mix, potentially.
Potentially Pogba in the mix. Exactly.
Bro, so that would be a catastrophe, actually.
Yeah, it would be.
If Pogba goes to PSG,
it can't be as bad as the Sergio Ramos signing has been.
The Sergio Ramos one is... Yeah, Sergio Ramos one hasn't been good, but I think that's been
even
like...
Sergio Ramos, Wijnaldum, those all Deadwood signings didn't work out.
Apparently, they want Ousmane Dembele. And I think that could help in attack.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's another option. Someone that will stretch the pitch. Like,
but you see, here's the thing.
I think that's a great option. And you can maybe even put Messi in the middle of that.
Messi will sit back more. Messi is less excited about attacking as he used to be before. The guy is not even scoring goals. He's even giving penalties away. You know, the guy will sit back in midfield. We'll see Messi, you know, assume a new role on the football pitch. Because he's just not, let's face it, he's just not physically as capable anymore.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, let's see, Sean.
Let's talk about some more quick hits. Before we give you guys a team of the season. AC Milan won Serie A. You guys must be happy. Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations to Zlatan.
Shout out to Olivier Giroud.
Popping off with this champagne and the cigar.
Tomorrow.
No, you didn't say it right. Oluwa Fikayo, Oluwa Damilola Tomori.
Yes, sir.
Bad boy. I'm so happy for him.
He played the most minutes for them this season as well.
Yeah, that's
a big start.
I'm so happy for him, and I just pray that somehow this helps him with whatever agenda Southgate is. Because personally for me, especially with the way Southgate plays, there's no reason he should not be one of England's starting centre-backs.
I mean, this Scudetto win is big. It's hard to argue against it now. Because Maguire is out of the picture. So it's going to be somebody and John Stones. So I don't see any reason why it should not be Fikayo Tomori, to be honest.
They need to just give the kid a run of games, man. Just see what the guy has, man. Now, for some reason, I don't know why they're not even giving him a chance. Like, he's getting suspicious at this point.
That's exactly the word, suspicious. I mean, I have an idea, but I'm not going to make any assumptions yet. Let's see how things go towards the World Cup. But Tomori has more than earned his chance. Him and Tammy Abraham, they've more than earned their chance in that England setup.
Absolutely. Next up, let's talk about Lyon Women's. Congratulations. I was not expecting that Barcelona women's team to lose in the Champions League final, especially when I saw their league. When I saw their league performance this season, I thought it was a given.
The league record is like, it's video game stuff.
Barcelona, a team that hadn't lost, they hadn't drawn, like they had won every game until like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then PSG whitewashed them in the final. It was 3-0 until they scored one goal in the first half, and then that was all, you know, that was all she wrote. That was the end. Yeah. Oh, did I say something else? Lyon.
Is that PSG?
Oh, sorry. Lyon. Lyon whitewashed them in the final of the Champions League. I was so shocked. And the Ballon d'Or winner, Hedeberg.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that girl is sensational, man. That lady is sensational.
That is how that's how you be a Ballon d'Or winner and still like be about it. Like, that is what a Ballon d'Or winner is right there, man.
Ridiculous. Anyway, congrats to Olympic Lyon, man. I don't know how you guys did it, man.
I thought, you know, the dominance Barcelona had shown over the last two seasons will show up again in the final. But Lyon, more than, like you said, man, a Ballon d'Or winner is a Ballon d'Or winner, and she showed us why. So yep. shout out to the Lyonnais team. You did well. Also, quick side note, there was a rumor Midema was going to sign for Barcelona at the end of the season. Looks like Arsenal women was again being better than Arsenal men. And getting that signature signed, when I saw that, I was so happy.
Give her a statue. What do you expect?
Is that
a permanent statue?
I don't know if it's permanent, but they should make it permanent because she's that good. So, yeah, it's thank God for parity in football, because if she went to Barcelona, I don't know what that would have done.
Damola, next up, quick one. We covered the kind of top four saga for a long time. Ultimately Tottenham got this spot. As I kind of predicted in January, as soon as I saw Antonio Conte.
As we all predicted.
I was the only one that didn't predict this. That being said, if I had to remember, like, for a couple of podcasts, I've been like, that Southampton game, more less than the Brighton and Crystal Palace game, is going to come bite us in the back. And lo and behold, we could not hold it against Newcastle. The Southampton game came to bite us in the back.
Guy, honestly, it's painful to think of, because one game could have made the whole difference.
Why couldn't you hold it down? Why couldn't you get a draw versus Newcastle, bro?
No, but if I we spoke about this thing 2 weeks ago, like, after, like, there's no way we were going to.
Bro, why?
I'll give you why. I'll tell you why.
Bottom half team.
Newcastle are more than the bottom half team. First of all, he cannot do it against physically.
Bro, Tottenham flogged Newcastle 5-1.
I'm not aware. Newcastle also chopped 5 from City, like, recently. That's another Arteta star. He does not beat teams that recently chopped flogging. They use our star for recovery. But, like, on the most serious note, you knew that the pressure was going to be too much, man. And Newcastle are actually a decent side. Like, if I remember the one time, or apart from the Tottenham game, actually, that I watched them this season was against United, and they, like, battered United. And I had that picture in my mind going into St. James Park. Like, these guys are not.
You just had to use that.
I know, it's true, though. They're not walking.
Everyone stresses United now.
Yeah, but
this season,
United.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. The performance that I saw, that they just made me wary that Arsenal, this is the kind of place we go and we get rolled over, man. The fans can get behind you.
In that particular game, Newcastle were like the much better team.
Yeah,
like,
just like Crystal Palace. Just like Crystal Palace. Another very hostile atmosphere Monday night. It's not like the kind of game we win. And serially this season, we have lost games in series. As in, we don't lose one, we lose at least 2-3. On the bounce before we recover. It happened in the beginning. It happened when we lost against United. Then we went away to Everton at night, lost again, you know, before we lost and then recovered. And then recently we had that another 3 games again. So there's no way we were just about to lose to Tottenham 3-0, which I told you we were going to lose to Tottenham, and then come back and bounce back with a win again. But I mean, ultimately for me, you have to take what you can get from the season. It's a big shame. We could have done it, I think, if we didn't have injuries. I think it's going to be much harder for Arsenal to get back into.
So I'll put it this way. The reason I've been so upset about us not making it this season is it feels like one of those moments, right? Like, it's a precipice, right? It's like you get it right, it opens so much. You get it wrong, it feels like you're fighting your way just to get back to that spot. And I'll give you another classic example. The season Leicester won the league. If we're all being honest, who should have won the league that season, Tope?
Yes, no.
Guy, exactly.
I watched exactly. That one was close to that. He witnessed me in that one, close.
So it's this, I feel the exact same feelings I felt when that happened, which is like, if we don't take this, I'm not sure when the next opportunity will happen. Because a couple of things are obvious. United is never going to be this bad again.
Yes, but they're not going to be fantastic next season.
I rate Ten Hag very highly. Let's see what they are next.
Yeah, but if you rate it, they're not going to be fantastic. Next one.
Well, but that's the first thing, right? The second thing is we're playing Thursday night football. And if there's anything we saw, as we saw West Ham, towards the end of the season, that shit takes a lot out of the legs. So it's next season is not going to be easy. Not only do we need a big squad, we need a talented squad. And we're already hearing some, oh, you have 150 million to spend, but you have to sell like 60 million worth of players.
Did you see Saliba say he wants to stay in Marseille for Champions League football?
Guy, I don't want to think about it. I really don't want to think about it.
Guy, wow. Amazing. I think...
That's another reason to query Arteta, though. Because let us all be honest, it seems as if Arteta has a bit of a spat with that kid.
No? I don't know why.
It seems as if that kid is not normal to me.
Are you kidding me? You see Tokwe shifting.
What kid is it?
William Saliba.
Oh, yeah, that's a very strange one. But Arteta is strange, like
exactly.
Tokwe, I have a question for you. I have a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
What attracts you so deeply and emotionally to Mikel Arteta?
I thought we were talking about William Saliba. Listen,
bro,
let me just
Saliba.
I'll answer Ifatu's question. Please, Debola, don't attack me. I can hear it coming. Wait.
Okay. First of all, you just called a young lad. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me call him odd. Because true, the guy is an odd character.
Let's not forget
Saliba Gates. Willy Saliba.
Explain.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, that's first and foremost. But really, every time he talks to the media about Arsenal or Marseille, he's being very cryptic. I feel personally he's a bit disrespectful. That being said, obviously we're keeping fucking William Saliba. Like, it's not like, don't think I'm trying.
Bro, the boy wants to go. Let him go.
Even if he wants to go, Baba, he's good.
First of all, don't let him go. The issue is that
He has 2 years left on his contract. So if he does not sign a new deal this year, we pretty much have to sell him. Otherwise, he'll be going down to 1 year of his contract. We're in a bit of a sticky situation there. I just don't know how much money we can get for him. But ultimately, like, you want to keep him. He's like young player of the year in France, like in the French national team. He's obviously like a fucking brilliant center back. And here we have Rob Holding ruining a... kind of, you know.
You are blaming Rob Holding. I actually think Saliba is better than Ben White. But again, we need to see him in prep. But Tobey, here's my thing, though. Why is it that anytime Arteta is possibly at fault, you immediately find something to say about the other party in the equation? Bro, William Saliba came to us now wanting to play. Arteta came in and said the lad is too young. Okay, fair enough. Let's agree with that. The reason around it was he's only had 1 to 2 seasons of full-time football. Premier League is different from France, especially as a centre-back. Although Fofana, that is in Leicester, was performing. But you know what? Fair enough. Not everybody is the same. Let's give him the benefit of a doubt. The lad has gone on loan twice, right? With this second loan, he's entered the French national team, looking at a possible place in the World Cup squad. Finished one of the candidates for best defenders in the league, at least centre-backs. And you said to yourself, young player of the year. So in all these
got
teams,
his team
right,
to the Champions
so,
League.
What I'm hearing is that it's been a great loan signing and decision to take Saliba out on loan has worked out fantastically for his career and he has developed leaps and bounds.
Kudos to Arteta. Kudos to
less
Arteta.
Pressure.
Wow.
Under a less pressured environment.
Okay, you know what? Fair. I will even fight you on that.
Facts, though, because
I will fight you on that.
Not have had those opportunities at Arsenal. The
pressure of the difference. Back, well, the, made the pressure is different.
He has made some mistakes this season in league. Oh, actually, end of the day, and like it was a good environment for him to make those mistakes because you know the fans is not the Arsenal fan base that like 1 second later Troops is calling you a hero. The next second is you know. Doing all sorts on YouTube because you lose or you make a mistake. So for me now, it's bringing back. Okay, everything is done. You have set the 2 seasons. You've done a lot of extras. Now it's time for us to see William Saliba. And I don't think the coaching staff will disappoint on that. But obviously, we'll find out.
Hey, bro, all I'm saying is if Arteta cannot somehow make it work with Saliba, your man has a serious problem.
And if to answer your question, sorry, to answer Ifatu's question on Mikel Arteta, it's because I believe the guy has common sense. He's a very smart guy. And I think he required charisma and chemistry to corral these boys into performing like an amazing team. In a nutshell.
You overrated rookie's common sense. But
audio clip.
Free Arteta. As much as you guys have an agenda against Arteta.
You could say I have an agenda, but it is. But it's very simple. It comes down to the fact where you have a young squad or an inexperienced squad. You can't pair them with an inexperienced coach if you're trying to get where Arsenal is getting. That has been my entire agenda, right? Now, you could say Arteta, which has been your argument, Arteta is like the exception of the exception, similar to Zidane and Guardiola, where he can be in this situation. Obviously, it may take him a bit more time, but you think at the end of the day, long term, it's going to be worth it. I don't think the suffering short term is going to equate to the long term success you possibly see. But you know, it is what it is.